Good afternoon. I can say that now. And welcome to A Candidates For, sponsored by the Silver City Daily Press and Independent, for candidates for the 2nd Congressional District, which is essentially southern New Mexico. And we're honored to have both candidates here with us today. In the order they're seated, Mary Lee Sewells is the Democratic candidate, and we have Congressman Steve Pierce. He is the Republican candidate, again, for the 2nd Congressional District. We'll be doing this for an hour, accepting written questions from the audience. Our timer is sitting here in the front of the room. She's the woman in the black jacket, otherwise known as my mother. And she'll be keeping track of your time. Candidates will have 2 minutes for an opening statement, 90 seconds for each response, and we'll be alternating those responses. And she'll keep track of the time. When you've got 30 seconds remaining, she'll raise her hand, and when your time has expired, she'll give you the little time sign. So keep an eye on her, and she'll help you keep track of that. Appreciate your help in keeping things on track today. So to get started, without further ado, with opening statements, Democrat Mary Lee Sewells.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being here. It's very good to be in Silver City. And thank you to the Silver City Daily Press for setting this up. My name is Mary Lee Sewells. I'm running for Congress here in the 2nd Congressional District, Southern New Mexico. I'm running because I believe our government has a serious responsibility and hard work to do on behalf of all of us. And I'm sick and tired of what's been going in Washington, in the gridlock, and the obstructionism. We need more from our government. Here in Southern New Mexico, I've had the privilege of traveling throughout the district. And it is a wonderful place that we live. Wonderful people who are very proud to call Southern New Mexico home. But we're clearly stuck. We're not sharing in the prosperity that's occurring in the rest of the nation. And that economic prosperity is a promise we need to be able to make to ourselves, to our families, and to our children. My background as an executive with a division of General Motors leads me to understand what it takes to attract industry. Low-cost electricity is one of those very, very important things. And when I look around the resources we have here, we have unending opportunity for low-cost electricity, energy generation that suits our future. And we're holding ourselves back. Knowing how low-cost electricity ties to job creation, last year when El Paso Electric sought a rate increase of $8.6 million per year, I knew it was unjustified. I filed to intervene simply as a citizen. And as a result of my work, the PRC, the Public Regulation Commission, awarded El Paso Electric only $1.1 million in increased revenue. That's $7.5 million savings per year that stayed in the pockets of the people in my community, $75 million over 10 years, and kept electricity rates low. This is the kind of work I seek to do for you, for us, for the people of Southern New Mexico. I see that kind of future. I want that kind of future for us, where we're grabbing the opportunities in front of us, where we're doing what we need to create prosperity that works for all of us, that works for our families, that works for the people that we care about right here where we call home. My name's Mary Lee Sewells. I'm asking for your vote as your next representative to Congress.
All right, thank you. That's Democrat Mary Lee Sewells. We'll turn now to Congressman Steve Pierce for his opening statement.
Thanks. I'm Steve Pierce, and I'm a candidate for U.S. Congress in the 2nd District of New Mexico. I would like to thank Silver City Daily Press, Nick, Ben. Appreciate it. Western New Mexico, thanks to you, and thanks to each one of you who are here today. This is truly where our Republic begins, right here. Would like to also thank my opposition, my opponent in this race. This is a very rewarding job, but I will tell you the 2nd District is huge. It is very difficult to campaign in, and it requires a lot of work, so would like to give her my appreciation. Anyone willing to get into the public square deserves respect from both sides. We're talking these days nationwide about two futures. We're seeing one future played out before us in extremely high health care costs that are really going to rise even more. Just yesterday had a constituent tell me about their $700 a month insurance payment they have. Another one came up. I thought that was very high. Another one came up later, over $1,200 a month. That contrasts with $250 a month that they had before. Now, when we said as a nation the president signed the Affordable Care Act, it was supposed to go down by $2,400, $2,500 a year, and instead we're finding increases in the $1,000 per month range, $12,000 a year. It's just not sustainable. The exchanges, 16 of the 23 exchanges that your tax money funded in the billions of dollars, have gone bankrupt. They used your money, and now they're bankrupt, saying that they just can't stay in business. Those were the government-sponsored enterprises that were going to compete. The exchanges are having tremendous difficulty. Specialty doctors are not in the system many times, so you're promised that you could get your same doctor, and it's not happening. So one side of the equation says we're going to pursue that. The other says that we've got to do something fundamentally different. I'm on the side that says we've got to do something fundamentally different. When I go around the 2nd District, I find people have two strong concerns. Number one is economic security. They're afraid that if they happen to lose their job or need another one, that they're not going to be able to find one, or that their kids can't find one after they graduate from high school or college. So that's the first concern. The second concern is national security. People see the cutting off of heads or whatever is happening overseas. They see Orlando, San Bernardino, and it frightens them for the future of their kids. Can their kids just go to school and be safe? So our debate, our forum today, will cover two sides of that issue. I earnestly ask for you to consider my position and would appreciate your vote as U.S. Congressman for the 2nd District of New Mexico.
All right. That's Republican Steve Pierce. And I thank you both so much for helping us adhere to our time restrictions today. In my opening, I also neglected to mention our other sponsor for the forum today, which is the Metro Club of Western New Mexico University. Through them, we were able to use this facility, and we really appreciate their co-sponsorship of today's forum. All right, we'll get started. Some fantastic questions here from the audience. And one other thing to help speed things along, I would ask that you please hold your applause for the candidates until the end of the forum. I expect they're going to give us some rousing responses, and so it'll help us move more quickly if you do that for me. All right, we'll begin with the Veterans Administration. You both have different views on the VA and how it should be serving veterans. Why do you believe your view is better for Silver City and Western New Mexico University? And we'll begin with Republican Steve Pierce.
As a veteran myself, serving in Vietnam, it's one of the issues that I pay most close attention to. The VA has not lived up to its promise. We deal with constituent services frequently, but one of the most recurring is problems with the VA. So we have engaged in trying to have discussions with the local VA providers, and that has proved mediocre in outcome at best. A few years ago, 3 years ago, I think it was, when the nation became angry at the long lines and people dying on the waiting lists, Democrats and Republicans got angry at the same time and began to say, we're going to fix the mess. Washington actually responds very quickly when that happens, and within 90 days, we had passed a bill that says we're going to give you choice. If you can't get into your VA hospital or clinic, whatever is closest to you, if you're 40 miles away, you can choose a local provider. It makes sense. From this area, sometimes your veterans have to drive 8 hours or six to eight hours to get to Albuquerque, get the care they need there, and then they've got the same trip back. when people reach their 70s, 80s, and 90s, that is extraordinarily difficult. That argues for being able to see someone locally also. The second piece of the reform that we passed called the Choice Act was that the VA can fire people for not doing their jobs. I know you and I think that should be normal, but in Washington it's not. The VA, as yet, is fighting to not increase or not implement the Choice program, either the getting rid of people who won't do their job or seeing your local doctors. And so we're going to continue, because I think the thing we must do is honor the service of those who promised to give everything when the nation called them. That's our veterans. I'll continue to fight for them.
All right, that's Republican Steve Pierce. We'll address the same question now to Democrat Mary Lee Soles. And if you need me to repeat the question, I can do that.
Please do.
It is, you both have different views on the VA and how it should be serving veterans. What do you why do you believe your view is better for Silver City and Western New Mexico University?
I believe our democracy is strongest when we keep our promises to our veterans. Our veterans put on a uniform, take an oath, and put their very lives on the line for us, defending freedom and democracy and the privileges that come with that. I do agree that the Veterans Administration can be improved, has not lived up to all of those promises. But I disagree completely on the causes. Let's be clear. My opponent voted against increased funding for veterans' PTSD and suicide prevention services. He voted against increased funding to address reducing the backlog in processing veterans' benefits claims. He voted against restoring benefit cuts for veterans, against increased military pay. Let's be clear, he's not willing to put the money where his mouth is. And that's no friend to our veterans. We can always improve on the veteran services. But we have other challenges that are related to the overall capacity of skilled healthcare providers in New Mexico. Veterans' resources are still disproportionately in the north and in the west rather than here in our southwest. We need to be stepping up to these challenges. But we need a Congress that is, in fact, putting the money where it needs to be in order for us to keep our promises.
All right, that's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. And we'll move on now to another question from the audience. And the question is, what will you do in Congress to help bring and keep doctors and medical care to rural communities like Silver City? And we'll begin with Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
One of the big challenges facing this nation, I believe, is the capacity of skilled medical caregivers. At one point, my daughter was thinking of going to medical school. She didn't choose that path, but a good friend of hers did. And what we learned was that medical school education is artificially constrained in terms of the number of doctors we are training and putting out to serve this country every year. Not based on students not having the capability, either educational-wise or with their prerequisites, but artificially constraining the capacity. As a nation, I would step up to making it possible for everyone who is capable and interested in acquiring that degree, that certification, that training, that we actually have the capacity to prepare them to serve us.
That's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. We'll address the same question now to Republican Steve Pierce.
Sure. First, before we get into that issue, and it's an important one, let me go back and address the questions that my opponent raised on voting for funding of VA. The VA is the only department that has increased in funding in the last few years. We're struggling. Both parties are having to struggle tremendously with the budgets. Now, what she's referring to are motions to recommit, which are basically procedural motions to kill the underlying bill. But they're useful for these talking points at this. The VA has more money today than it's ever had, and it squanders that money in many different ways through bureaucracy, through systems that don't work, through a building that is supposed to cost $300 billion. We in Congress, both sides, pulled the plug when it got to $1.5 billion over $300 million. And so that's the case that I do vote for the right bills that increase the funding in the right way. But how to keep doctors here in rural communities? That's the essential question that we all face. It's just not affordability that we face in rural New Mexico, but also access to care. That access to care, again, if we were to send our VA patients here to local providers, they would have more income. It would be a stable operations. The Affordable Care Act is also causing local small hospitals to be almost bankrupt. Many of them were well managed going into the Affordable Care Act. They just can't keep up with the mandates that are required. And so we find that we're having tremendous difficulties providing any kind of care in our local communities.
And that's Republican Steve Pierce. Got a question here about immigration. Do you support legal status for children of undocumented immigrants brought to the United States through no choice of their own? Why or why not? We'll begin with Republican Steve Pierce.
This is an issue which probably tears at the heartstrings more than any other. I explained in a previous forum that when I was 10 years old, 9 and 10 years old, we lived out at Nadine, New Mexico, which is actually 5 miles outside of Hobbs. We were right at the bottom end of the economic ladder, and Mom would take us kids down, and we'd get in the cotton fields with the braceros. Mom would be out there chopping cotton along with us, and then in the fall, we would pick the cotton. I began to know people personally who came to this country trying to make a better life, trying to do what they could to feed families. But when we look at solutions for policy, you just can't let your heartstrings pull. If this is going to be the way that we give citizenship, then it's going to be an open door. So I tell the dreamers, and I visit with them, I sit and talk to them personally, show me how we can solve the problem without it being a problem next year and the year beyond. That's what we're called to do as policymakers. No one yet has suggested that. The last debate, my opponent seemed to think that maybe she had an answer, so I will listen as she gives an answer this time. If you're going to give just amnesty, you better get ready for a long line.
All right, that's Republican Steve Pierce. We'll address the same question now to Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Read it again, please.
I can certainly do that. Do you support legal status for children of undocumented immigrants brought to the United States through no choice of their own? Why or why not?
Yes, I absolutely do. Legal status allows people to come out from the shadows. We have 11 million people living in the shadows without legal status, without documents. These are people that are every day participating in our communities, making contributions, sharing in dreams of a future for themselves and their family. They are not criminals. Legal status lets them fully participate. It changes nothing for those of us who are not in the shadows. It changes everything for those who are, simply for lack of that legal documentation. So I would grant legal status not just to those young people. I would grant legal status to the undocumented population so long as they are not violent criminals and putting the rest of us in danger. And I would move from there to really creating a process that works, that allows people who are not part of our great country and our community to come and go within this country so long as they were not putting us at risk. We need to take that on. We don't have a process. People talk as if, well, this is simply a matter of go get in line, follow the legal process. 20 years, 30 years of waiting for something you don't understand, that we don't understand, that's not a process. We can do better.
All right, that's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. I'm going to turn now to Benjamin Fisher. He's the politics reporter for the Daily Press for a question on behalf of the newspaper. Ben?
Yes. Neither of you are from Grant or immediately surrounding counties. What have you done and what would you do to help residents of Southwest New Mexico specifically?
All right, we'll begin by addressing that question to Mary Lee Soles, the Democrat.
Well, I mentioned my interest in energy of the future. Again, to be clear, climate change is with us. Our desert, our Southwest, is getting hotter, it's getting drier. We need to take that on. We need to prepare for what that means to our communities and our lives here. We need to take on the issue of how to slow it, stop it, and reverse it. And I have absolute confidence that we're capable of doing that. So the energy challenges, how do we do that? Low-cost energy, where we have a fabulous university right here. I would go about putting to work the brain power in terms of the technologies of the energy for the future. The second thing that's immediately clear to me has to do with connectivity. In our rural communities, there's great areas where we're not connected. I know this as I've traveled. We need to commit to high-speed broadband, internet connectivity, cell phone connectivity that is absolutely reliable and that allows us all to participate in our modern world. And I believe that will open doors to prosperity. That's right off the top, the first things right now.
All right, that's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. We'll address the same question to Republican Steve Pierce.
Ben, could you repeat the question, please?
The question is, neither of you are from here exactly. What have you done and what would you do to help residents of Southwest New Mexico specifically?
Every area wonders most about the economy and jobs, and so that's been one of our constant focal points here. Many times I find that our government is one of the obstacles to jobs. For instance, the Endangered Species Act is used not just to preserve species, which I think we all could agree on, but it's used to block people's ability to make a living. Right now, going on over in Weed, New Mexico, you have the jumping mouse, and that's being used to curtail the activities of ranchers if you're not very careful. We stand on beside the people who are trying to create jobs and trying to keep an economy going in this rural part of America. But right here specifically, since 1968, we've had the permission but not the signature to gather the water out of the Gila watershed. Since 1968, no signature. We worked with the Obama administration, very bipartisan effort, got that signature, first time that we got that. We're also in constant discussions about going ahead and cutting trees out of the forest. We're going to either cut the trees or burn them. You all saw the Baldy fire that burned about 300,000 acres. That's happening because the fuels are just overwhelming in our forest. So cutting trees would be a sign of economic activity. Supporting the mining industry, we used to have 11 rare earth mineral mines out in the western part of New Mexico. Those are now in China, so those strategic minerals are made by somebody who's not familiar with us. Those are all jobs that I would start here in the western part of the state again.
All right. That's Republican Steve Pierce. Thank you both. May as well get to the elephant in the room here. We have more questions from the audience on this than on any other. The question is, do you endorse/support your presidential candidate? And if so, why? And we'll begin with Republican Steve Pierce.
So Donald Trump is the nominee, in case you haven't noticed, for the Republicans. I have always expressed support for him since he became our nominee. I have not endorsed him because I think it's a very critical element in allowing the discussion to continue. If you think it's not important, just ask candidates who are out asking for endorsements the difference. So we have conversations going on with them. I think that's my responsibility representing New Mexico. But the idea of supporting Mrs. Clinton is simply something that I can't do, and that goes all the way back to my Vietnam days. We were in a C-130 flying over the DMZ in the 71-72 period when I was there first, went back later. And we heard an F-4 get shot down there in the north. The front seater got into the ocean. The back seater was on land. There are different rules at that point. The helicopter picked up the front guy, and the back guy was screaming for help. I need you to pick me up. I can hear the enemy. The response was, we've got to have permission from Hawaii. They ended up not picking him up, saying that they never got the answer from Hawaii. During the middle of the night, we were there all night long till daylight. In the middle of the night, I heard a keyed microphone and automatic weapons fire. The next morning when the helicopter got there, there was no answer. I burned with anger at a government who would leave its young people, put them in harm's way, and leave them there. And so the Benghazi thing has a very particular personal anger that it develops in me. 13 hours they were asking for help. 13 hours we could have gotten C-130s, F-16s, drones there, and we did nothing.
All right, that's Republican Steve Pierce. We'll address the same question to Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Thank you. Let me first say that I'm personally offended that my opponent uses these stories, which are, I don't know about the Vietnam story, but certainly the Benghazi story is a fabrication. We've seen enough testimony on national TV and coverage. It's a fabrication. There was no denial of a request for help. Help was too far away. Help was too far away because Congress had refused to authorize increased funding for increased embassy security throughout the world. As to the question itself, I'm proud to endorse Hillary Clinton as our next president of the United States. I believe she is highly experienced, smart, capable, and strong. And I don't know exactly where she would lead us, but I do believe she will do it in the best interest of the country and those of us who live here.
All right, that's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. Another great audience question here. In New Mexico, hunting is a huge pastime and economic driver. Would you take any action in D.C. to limit our access to guns? We'll begin with Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Should you elect me as your next Congresswoman, I will take an oath where I will swear to protect and defend our Constitution. That includes the Second Amendment. I'm looking forward to taking that oath. There is no way that I would violate Second Amendment rights. However, I read a statistic that was very troubling to me the other day. And that was that in the first 6 months of this year, 2016, at the rate of one every other day, minor children in this country were killed accidentally by guns. Now, if we were to say that some enemy of the United States were going to promise to execute one of our children every other day, imagine what our response would be. I think that's an intolerable tragedy. At this point, I don't understand the causes. So I would look to opening the ability to do the research, collect the data and do the analysis, to figure it out and take steps to stop that tragedy. I do believe that people who are unable to fly because they're on a terrorist watch list should not own guns. I do believe that the privilege of owning a gun carries with it a requirement regardless of a federal background check. I would take those steps pretty immediately and then see where the information leads us.
It's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. We'll address the same question now to Republican Steve Pierce.
Sure. Gun control is probably one of the hottest subjects as you get out into the district. You ask if there's anything that we would do from Congress. Really, Congress cannot do anything about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment can only be changed by the people. It takes an amendment to the Constitution that has to be passed through Congress, but Congress by itself can't do anything. President Obama at one point was going to do it through executive order until he found that Democrat senators began to say an alarm, we'll be unelected if you push that agenda any further. The people across this country have turned more to gun freedom than away from it. About 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 60% of the people felt like we needed more laws. Today, 80% across the board, Democrat, Republican, and Independent, feel more safe if they've got a gun in the room, if they've got the ability to defend themselves. So we tamper with that constitutional right at our risk. Now, the idea of no fly, no buy gets a lot of mileage from our friends. The problem is you don't know when you get on the no-fly list. There's no due process to get there, no due process to get off. Hundreds of thousands, including an 18-month-old girl, are on the list, and Senator Kerry was at one point on the list. So you got a list that's just generated out here and no controls over it. Again, it speaks to the difficulty of having policy based on bumper stickers.
All right, that's Republican Steve Pierce. Next question. Will you support a constitutional amendment clarifying that money is not speech and corporations are not people? We'll begin with Republican Steve Pierce.
Yeah, I'll just repeat the question, if you would.
Will you support a constitutional amendment clarifying that money is not speech and corporations are not people?
Well, I think that the basic underlying assumption of the question is a false one. If you don't believe money is speech, then take a look at what kind of freedoms they might have in the undeveloped countries. Money absolutely is speech, the ability to get your thoughts known. There was a great amount of consternation about the Citizens United case, and people were alarmed that Republicans were going to come in and flood the scene with money. The truth is, it's been the left which has access to the most money. Mrs. Clinton, in this current campaign, she and the different groups supporting her are going to have about $1.5 billion. That's more than double what the other side has. So the money is actually flowing to that side of the equation. But still, I would not limit people's ability to affect the elections. And no, I would not sign on to that constitutional amendment.
All right, that's Republican Steve Pierce. We'll address the same question to Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
When I first decided to run for this office and I set out to connect with voters, I was particularly concerned about a history of decreasing voter participation in this district. What people told me throughout the district as to why they didn't think they should bother to vote, one of the big reasons was they felt their government was for sale. They felt their vote didn't count. They thought there was too much money in this dynamic of how we elect our representatives. That, for me, becomes the benchmark of when we've solved this problem. Now, I believe in this election that there's going to be record voter turnout. I think people see their future related to the choices they are making right now through early voting and on November 8th. Tying that future to money or who has the loudest voice because of the money seems to be not the foundation of our great democracy and electing a representative government. I'm very interested in finding ways that get it back to being our election and our government and representative, rather than how did money buy the loudest voice. I wouldn't say that the only way to do that is through a constitutional amendment. I think there are other alternatives. And I would point out that a significant difference between my and my opponent, I go looking for solutions. He just wants to blow things up and point out all of what's wrong. We can fix this, and we're good enough to do that.
That's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. In looking at these races, you're sort of used to this sort of negativity, these independent expenditures, when you're looking at races like the one that you're running now. Obviously, though, the problem is expanding, because now we're seeing heavy independent expenditures, even in state house races. I think the District 38 race here is a great example of that. Even down now to county commission races. Something is obviously fundamentally wrong. Something's broken now that wasn't broken before. What is that, and how would you address that? We'll begin with Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Well, I know it's tempting for all of us to look at the big national scene, but let me tell a very much more local, personal story. Last year in the municipal election in Las Cruces, my community, big outside money came in to try and buy that election. And they almost succeeded. That's not right. It's a very local election. This is our city government. It's nonpartisan. It's not Democrats versus Republicans. That's just not right. One of my thoughts, just as an idea, hasn't been developed. Suppose that any candidate had an equal amount of airtime in local media, whether that's radio or television. This is how much you get, period. Use it however you want. Suppose that that happened on the internet, social media as well. You get so many, what, gigabytes. Use it however you want. But where we get back to, there's an equal opportunity for a candidate's voice to be heard, message to connect with the constituents, but it can't be bought. It's a finite amount. It's up to you to use it wisely. Just a thought.
Democrat Mary Lee Soles. Same question to Republican Steve Pierce.
Well, in 2006, I began to be the number one target nationwide for some of those outside groups, and they had taken out previously some of my friends in Congress. So I experienced exactly what you're talking about in depth. They usually would spend about $1 million to $1.5 million in this race, which in New Mexico is pretty huge money. So we fight through it every time. Again, we just try to stay on point, try to tell people what we're about, what our values are. I'm finding that the value of money in politics is decreasing dramatically right now. If you take a look just at the Republican primary, Jeb Bush spent $128 million. Mr. Trump was in the $5 million category. And so for his $128 million, Bush got 5% of the vote. So, in those targets against us, then we've been able to succeed without much deterioration. What it requires is an increased commitment from you, the candidate, to be out there face-to-face, dealing with people every day. If you start limiting people's ability to spend money in races, I don't know exactly where you stop it. I understand the frustration, and believe me, I'm not a friend of it. I just don't know how you stop it if you ever start trying to limit it. And where do you judge that this is the right point? It's very difficult. I think that we as candidates just have to get out and hustle through and take our message more broadly in person.
All right. That's Republican Steve Pierce. We've got another question here from the audience. Silver City and Western New Mexico continue to lag behind the rest of the nation in broadband and modern phone technology. What would you do in Congress to help promote technology growth that benefits our area? We'll begin with Republican Steve Pierce.
The Universal Service Fund was set up in order to help provide phone service into areas that were just very difficult, usually the rural areas. Sometimes it was based on income levels. And that fund has been transitioned over now to deal with the broadband, and we're supportive of that. We're actually fighting on the side of many of the rural co-ops who are trying to get access to that in New Mexico. The big states always want to describe how the program is actually set up to benefit them. And so always, very few questions in Washington end up being Democrat versus Republican. Most end up being big versus small. So we're constantly standing with these small co-ops out here who are trying to provide services out where no one else in the country will come. And that money should be coming through the Universal Services Fund. And we'll continue to fight for that. I do believe that access to the internet, access to high-speed data is extraordinarily important. It's possible for us to do jobs here when the job is maybe in the Midwest somewhere, and we can sit at home in New Mexico. That's one of the real promises for rural New Mexico. We've worked on it hard in Congress. We'll continue to fight those daily fights to see that we get access to the broadband.
All right, that's Republican Steve Pierce. Same question to Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, before the question even came up, I think this is one of the keys to prosperity in southern New Mexico. I think about what the country did a century ago when it committed to electrifying the nation. At that point, our rural areas, people were still cooking with wood-fired stoves, kerosene lanterns at night. The day ended when the sun went down. And making that commitment that we would electrify throughout the nation changed from cities being the prosperous places and rural communities being those that were lagging behind. It brought that rural community dynamic right into the mainstream simply through electrification. I believe connectivity today has that same potential. But it will require us as a country, as a government, to make that commitment to treat that as critical infrastructure. Similar to the way we would do roads or bridges or rails, we need to make that commitment in terms of connectivity. And I could use either the electrification as a model or the infrastructure of roads and transportation as a model. There's any number of ways to get there, but I think this is a national commitment we should be making.
That's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. Their audience question, as our representative in D.C., what will you do to promote bipartisan cooperation in the public interest to end the partisan gridlock that leads to a do-nothing Congress? And we'll begin with Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Well, my entire background, my career, my adult endeavors have all been about finding a way forward. I'm not the person that takes an extreme position, black and white, one way or the other. I listen carefully to all sides. I hear what's being said. I interpret in terms of maybe what's not being said, and find a way to bring those perspectives and that input so that it creates forward movement. That's what I've done my entire adult life. Whether we're talking about the El Paso Electric story, surely El Paso Electric didn't like that result, but my community, bringing the city and the county, myself and some other parties together to work towards that outcome, that's the kind of result that I know how to create. I'd want to do that on your behalf in Washington, firmly grounded on working for the people of this great state.
Democrat Mary Lee Soles will address the same question to Republican Steve Pierce.
Sure. I'm unapologetically conservative, but I also unapologetically work across the partisan aisles, sometimes to the dismay of my leadership. Some of the bills that we have taken the lead on nationwide, Native American housing, my family made its way up from poverty through one little house at a time. And so we're trying to duplicate that taking of prosperity into the Native American lands through housing. HUD reform is something that we recently passed bipartisan and passed that. The Senate carried it through. The president has signed that. Export of oil was, again, very bipartisan effort. Is probably the thing that will change geopolitics in the world more than anything else. That was partisan. We took the lead on that. Repatriation of cultural items to Native Americans, very bipartisan effort, just passed in the House overwhelmingly. The Senate passed it also. So again, that's in force. Fort Wingate is something that we've worked with Ben Ray Lujan on, trying to get the solutions to that thorny problem that's been there for 12 to 15 years. The Arizona water settlement, again, we worked with the Obama administration, very bipartisan effect on that. The weed water settlement, that was the Forest Service under the Obama administration, very bipartisan on that. Some of the people who are most cooperative with us, usually backbenchers like myself, I'm not in leadership, but we find the way to get things done. Maxine Waters and I don't agree on the thing. We sit on the same committee. But always when we dust it up, then we go to each other and shake hands and say we're still working together here. So we're very bipartisan in the way we approach.
All right. That's Republican Steve Pierce. Turn down to Ben Fisher for a question from the Daily Press. Ben?
Education in New Mexico lists near the bottom of most nationwide rankings. I guess, what is your vision for the federal role in education? And have schools and students benefited from broad federal laws like the Every Student Succeeds Act or its predecessor, No Child Left Behind?
We begin with Republican Steve Pierce.
If you ask teachers, No Child Left Behind was one of the most horrid agreements ever made in Washington. And again, that was Mr. Bush and Mr. Kennedy that came up with that. It did not work at all the way it was anticipated, and we actually repealed that bill a couple of years ago. We passed the Every Student Succeeds Act just this year, and in that bill, what we're trying to do is push responsibility back towards the local level. Washington is never going to look at the school system in Silver City and try to figure out what's wrong here. They've got too many schools across the nation, too many failing schools in much larger places. If the money is going to be dedicated, it'll be dedicated there. So I've constantly been one who says, let's get local control back. If your local school board can't educate your kids, then you can fire them, you can get them out of there. If the U.S. Department of Education can't educate your kids, it's a bigger problem. If we don't solve this problem of education in the country, and especially towards the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and math, then we are not going to compete in this worldwide market that exists. So the stakes are very high. Again, I believe local control is better, that every student succeeds. It was a very bipartisan bill, again, both sides agreeing that we've got to do something. We just can't keep the same failed mantra in our schools happening, the same unfunded mandates coming out of Washington. So those are some of the things that that we've worked on and done.
All right, that's Republican Steve Pierce. Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
I'm glad there's one or two things we can agree on. When we went down the path of No Child Left Behind, it struck me as we were using a manufacturing model. I know a lot about that, where you take a young person, you put them into a process, you act on them with that process, and out the other side comes a fully educated, functioning member of our community. That's just not right for education. So I think we took the wrong direction with No Child Left Behind. I think the way we set out metrics as if we were going to be able to structure this all along, that was completely misguided. But my opponent talks as if once everybody decides we're going to go down the Every Student Succeeds Act, that he's on board. He does tend to get on board once things are inevitable, but has no real ideas about what we need to be doing in terms of what affects us. Money is a big part of this. I believe the federal government has a responsibility to make sure that it should not matter where you were born, where you grow up, in terms of the quality of the public education you receive in this entire country. So setting that expectation is critically important at the federal level.
That's Democrat Mary Lee Soles. Audience question: how do you define New Mexico's natural resources? And what do you believe we should do to use those resources wisely? Begin with Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Well, I must say there's probably resources I haven't yet thought of as natural resources. But surely our people, our universities, our physical resources, our cultural resources, our ideas, the sun, the wind, and let's keep going. Let's figure out new resources to put to work to engage in creating a future that works for all of us. I don't see us going backwards. I've heard my opponent talk about what we used to do. Well, there are very real reasons we're no longer doing that. Our forests aren't something to harvest at current market values. There's not a market for the wood you can get out of our forests. The rare earth minerals he wants to talk about, they're still there, but they're not there because they're rare. They're actually fairly common. And we don't make money when we mine those resources here in New Mexico. There's very good reasons for why we're not doing what we used to do. I'm looking forward to creating a future that we haven't experienced yet, that works for us, that's about the people here, not some past. I see endless opportunity with those resources.
Democrat Mary Lee Soles will address the same question to Republican Steve Pierce.
Sure. By the time we graduate every student from New Mexico, we've spent something around $100,000 of state money and then whatever they've added on top of that. So they're a great resource. And what we do that is most harmful to the state is we export our most precious resource, that's our kids, to other states to go make great economies there. You can say what you want to say, but if we don't harvest our forests, which they do. In Europe, they actually just continue to keep those forests healthy and regenerating. If we don't do it, we're simply going to burn them to the ground. We used to have 123 mills here in New Mexico. My opponent says that it's because that they don't exist anymore because the market's not there. They don't exist because of one regulation called the spotted owl. The spotted owl caused 85% of the timber jobs in America to leave. 85% of the timber jobs left. And about 3 years ago, the agency came out and said, oh, logging was never the problem. So we kill those jobs. The rare earth mineral mines are shut down because of regulations. It is the regulatory vice grip on businesses that are causing them to leave this nation. Oil and gas is obviously one of our great resources. Coal is one of our great resources, but the coal mining jobs are now being shut down. The Navajo miners making $60,000 a year being sent home to live at your expense at subsistence level wages, all because of a regulation that says that we're going to clean the air up. The EPA admits that you can't see the actual difference. So these regulations that choke off jobs for no benefit, we absolutely have to review.
All right, Republican Steve Pierce. I'm going to try to sneak a couple more questions in here. And audience question here, how do you believe New Mexico can be most successful in job creation and growth? We'll begin with Republican Steve Pierce.
Again, job creation needs to start where we are with what we have. We have resources. We choose not to use many of those. Again, the mining here is under pressure all the time from the regulatory agencies. Many of the hard rock mines across the country are just trying to struggle and stay alive, again, because of regulations. The oil and gas economy is huge. It provides about 40% of our teachers' pay. It doesn't matter if you live on this side or the other side. It's 40% of teachers statewide. Many people want to shut the oil and gas industry down exactly the same way that they're in the process of shutting mining down, the same way that they shut down the timber of the sawmills and the timber cutting in this state. So if that happens, our teachers need to be prepared to take a 40% cut. Now, my opponent keeps saying that those are the things of the past. The actual truth is that you can look at previous to this decade, you can look back to the highest level, and we're producing double. In 2015, we produced double of the oil and gas that we have produced any time in the past. So that industry is thriving and surviving internationally because of new technologies that are allowing us to produce oil that's never been produced before. So good jobs will come from agriculture, mining, the forest, and our resource production. And I'm happy to do anything in the alternative area using wind and solar. Those would provide jobs for us. But we're going to have a summation of all of those together.
All right. Republican Steve Pierce. Turn to Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
I mentioned climate change earlier, global warming. Man caused global warming, which I believe for the state of New Mexico is the greatest economic opportunity we have ever had. We have unbelievable energy resources that suit that future. We have the universities, the natural labs, to develop those resources, those technologies, so that they work not just here, but for the country and for the globe. We have experience in energy production of all kinds that, if we would let go of what we've held on to in the past, would be the foundation for jumping us forward into the future, into an energy future that really works, and New Mexico's on the leading edge. So we have totally different views of what our opportunities are for the future. I'll point to another one. We are in the unique position of being at the crossroads of a continent. What that says to me is economic opportunity as we get things moving, people moving, ideas moving, back and forth across that southern border, east and west across this nation. Those are the things that open doors, make things possible for us right here in southern New Mexico to thrive, for our families to thrive, for our children to have just tremendous opportunity to stay right here at home and prosper.
Democrat Mary Lee Soles, I'm going to turn to Ben Fisher for a final question from the newspaper.
This district holds huge swaths of federal land, including the nearby Gila National Forest. How do you feel federal agencies could work better with local residents, and what is Congress's role in that?
All right, we begin with Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
I think we're hugely privileged with the federal lands, the public lands that we have here in New Mexico. I'm grateful that the federal government has stepped up to protect them and to put in place those agencies who have a responsibility to manage them on our behalf and for our children and those who follow us. It doesn't mean they're perfect. I expect every agency could improve in how it does its work. I know there's examples here in southern New Mexico where the agencies and the communities have struggled to find common ground to work together. I think that's a constant challenge, but I think it's one that's entirely appropriate. Certainly not a reason to abandon this precious legacy that we have here in New Mexico in our federal lands.
Democrat Mary Lee Soles will address the same question to Republican Steve Pierce.
Sure. I think that one of the things that Teddy Roosevelt left us with were big swaths of public land. Now, sometimes those are to our advantage, and sometimes they're to our distinct disadvantage. For instance, this county and Catron County, just to the west of here, have about 3.3 million acres in the Gila National Forest and the Gila Wilderness. When those are managed properly, then I think everyone feels good about it. But I can't just not remember the small group of Hispanics who had lived here for generations called and asked me to meet at the Pink Adobe about 3 years ago, talking about the access to public lands, the roadless rule that was being proposed that would have shut off 95% of the access. In anger, they said that that attempt by the agency appeared to be racial because the Hispanics, never had the money to go to Disneyland. They said that's the Anglos of the area went there. They went up here with one tank of gas, and then that's all they could do for vacation. So those places where their family had gone for generations were being shut off. That's what we find repeatedly with our government agencies, limiting access, limiting ability to produce, limiting the water, whatever it is. And so we find ourselves every day fighting for the man and woman on the street who just want to enjoy their life and go up here to the National Forest without being restricted.
All right. Several excellent questions from the audience that regrettably we just don't have time to get to today. To keep us on schedule, it's already time for our closing statements. So with that, we'll ask Republican Steve Pierce.
Again, I'm Steve Pierce. I'm here to respectfully ask for your vote in this coming election. Again, I think that we've demonstrated in a fairly non-controversial way how we have different views. I think that's what's good about New Mexico. We have 400 years of different cultures, different political groups, different church groups getting along together. 400 years is really possible because we do find that we can disagree in an agreeable fashion. We don't have to be disagreeable. When I'm in Washington again, I think it's the bipartisan effort that most people look at and say, that's pretty amazing. When Beto O'Rourke and I, he's a young progressive Democrat elected from El Paso, we both sat down and said, life doesn't have to exist this way in Washington. So we said, nothing divides the two parties more than immigration. And probably our own viewpoints, but let's work on that. So we generated two bills, one to deal with the situation with the young couple that had to get married out in the middle of the bridge. She had made a mistake and could never come back. He lives here. They still live in Juarez, just had an appeal yesterday to see if we can't keep that bill alive, and Beto and I will do it. So this bipartisanship, I think, is what the nation is hungry for at all levels. Again, working with the Obama administration on water issues, working with the Forest Service on the GOS issues to move those electrified fences in to allow the ranchers the access to their water. Those are just common sense settlements that we believe possible. At the end of the day, people worry about this election, and they worry if this candidate's elected president or that candidate's elected president. I will just tell you, I have a bit different viewpoint. I don't support Mrs. Clinton, but I don't think it's going to be the end of the world if she's elected, because the strength of the nation comes from here. It comes from the streets of the country. You and I, we're the fabric of the nation, and when we have strong families, strong values, then we're going to have a strong country. And I'm Steve Pierce, and respectfully ask for your vote.
All right. That's Republican Congressman Steve Pierce. And we'll turn now for the final closing statement to his opponent, Democrat Mary Lee Soles.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a job interview. I'm seeking to serve as your next Congresswoman. My opponent, after 12 long years in Washington, is seeking another term. I'm a political outsider. He's a longtime political operator. I see a future of opportunity. He's desperately holding on to the past. I'm asking you to fire him and hire me. Ask yourself, do we need someone who's just going through the motions? Who's bipartisan when it's convenient? Who's disconnected from this district? Who's really given up on us, on the people who live here in southern New Mexico? Or do we need a representative who will do the hard work on the challenges facing our state and our nation? Do you want someone who is divisive, finds ways to separate people, make big issues out of things that should be coming together? Or do we need a representative who has demonstrated she can deliver $75 million of savings for a community? Do we need someone who's given up on us, and whose only purpose is to protect the wealthy and special interests? Or do we need a representative who will fight against the special interests and fight for a future that works for all of us? My name is Mary Lee Soles. I will show up for you. I will stand up for you. I will fight for you. And together, we will create a future that works for all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask for your vote. I ask that you put me to work as your next Congresswoman. Thank you very much.
Thank you to both of you for an excellent forum. Thank you to all of you for being here and for submitting such great questions. Again, today's forum has been sponsored by the Silver City Daily Press. Thank you again to the Metro Club of Western New Mexico University and to Western New Mexico University for allowing us to use this space and co-sponsoring this forum here today. I want to remind you to go vote. Election Day is next Tuesday, November the 8th. Vote on Election Day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at any voter convenience center in the county.